The next morning, Bilbo woke up with the early sun in his eyes. He jumped up to look at the time and to go and put his kettle on, and found he was not home at all. He was still on the wide shelf of rock high in the mountains. After a breakfast of cold mutton and rabbit, Bilbo and the others made ready for a fresh start. With the sun still close to the eastern edge of things, 15 great birds rose from the mountainside and carried them to a great rock jutting out from a distant valley below. Quickly now, to the top of this rock, the eagles swooped one by one and set down their passengers. Then away they flew. There was a flat space on the top of the hill of stone and a well-worn path with many steps leading down it to the river, across which a ford of huge flat stones led to the grassland beyond the stream.
"Well, I always meant to see you all safe, if possible, over the mountains, and now by good management and good luck I've done it. Indeed, we're now a good deal further east than I ever meant to come with you. For after all, this is not my adventure. No, I may look in on it again before it's all over, but in the meantime, I have some other pressing business to attend to. No, I'm not going to disappear this very instant. I can give you a day or two more. We have no food and no baggage and no ponies to ride, and you don't know where you are.
That's true.
Yes, I can tell you that. Very few people live in these parts, but there is somebody that I know of who lives not far away. That somebody made the steps on the great rock there. You see, the Carrack, I believe he calls it.
Who calls it?
The somebody I spoke of. A very great person. I'll introduce you slowly, two by two. And you must be careful not to annoy him. He could be appalling when he's angry.
Couldn't you find someone more easy-tempered?
Couldn't you make it a bit clearer?
Yes. Who is this somebody?
If you must know more, his name is Bjorn. He's very strong, and he's a skin-changer.
Huh? Skin-changer?
Yes, he's a skin-changer. He changes his skin. Sometimes he's a huge black bear. Sometimes he's a great, strong, black-haired man with huge arms and a great beard. Oh. I can't tell you much more. As a bear, he ranges far and wide. I once saw him sitting all alone on the top of the Carrack at night, watching the moon sinking towards the misty mountains, and I heard him growl in the tongue of the bears. Well, we'd better be moving. We've a long walk before us.
I'm not thirsty. I'm not a boy.
I don't know when I've been so hot and hungry.
With all those clover fields and bees, there must be a lot of honey nearby.
Yes, Bjorn keeps hives and hives of great, fierce bees.
If one was to sting me, I'd swell up as big again as I am. I've never seen such bees.
We're on the edge of his bee pastures. See that thorn hedge? His place is just beyond. There's a gate over there. Now, you dwarves had better wait here. When I call or whistle, begin to come after me, but only in pairs, mind, about 5 minutes between each pair of you. Bomber is fattest and will do for two. He better come alone and last. Come on, Mr. Baggins.
The wizard and the hobbit went off along the hedge until they came to a wooden gate, high and broad, beyond which they could see gardens and a cluster of low wooden buildings, some thatched and made of unshaped logs. There were barns, stables, sheds, and a long, low wooden house. On the southward side of the great hedge were rows and rows of hives with bell-shaped tops made of straw. They pushed open the heavy, creaking gate and went down a wide track towards the house. Some horses, very sleek and well-groomed, trotted up across the grass and looked at them intently with very intelligent faces. Then off they galloped to the buildings.
They've gone to tell Bjorn of the arrival of strangers.
Soon they reached a courtyard. In the middle, there was lying a great oak trunk with many lopped branches beside it. Standing near was a huge man with thick black beard and hair and great bare arms and legs with knotted muscles. The horses were standing by him with their noses at his shoulder.
Here they are. They don't look dangerous. You can be off. Who are you? And what do you want?
I am Gandalf.
Never heard of him.
No.
And what's this little fellow?
That's Mr. Baggins, a hobbit of good family and unimpeachable reputation. Hmm. I am a wizard. I have heard of you, if you haven't heard of me. Perhaps you've heard of my good cousin Radagast, who lives near the southern borders of Mirkwood.
Yes, not a bad fellow, as wizards go, I believe.
Ah.
Well, now I know who you are, or who you say you are. What do you want?
Well, to tell you the truth, we've lost our luggage and nearly lost our way, and are rather in need of help, or at least advice. I may say we've had rather a bad time with goblins in the mountains.
Goblins?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've been having trouble with them, have you? What did you go near them for?
Oh, we didn't mean to. They surprised us at night in a pass which we had to cross. We were coming out of the lands over west into these countries. It's a long tale.
Well, then you'd better sit down and tell me some of it, if it won't take all day.
Certainly. Well, I was coming over the mountains with a friend or two.
Or two? I can only see one. And a little one at that.
Oh, well, to tell you the truth, I didn't like to bother you with a lot of us until I found out if you were busy. I'll give a call, if I may.
Go on, call away.
As I was saying, I was coming over the mountains with a friend or two.
Or three, you mean. But these two coming aren't hobbits. They're dwarves.
Thorin Oakenshield, at your service.
Dory, at your service.
I don't need your service, thank you, but I expect you need mine. I'm not over fond of dwarves, but if it's true you're Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, I believe, and that you're enemies of goblins and are not up to any mischief in my lands... What are you up to, by the way?
Oh, they're on their way to visit the land of their fathers, away east beyond Mirkwood, and it's entirely an accident that we're in your lands at all. We were crossing by the High Pass when we were attacked by the evil goblins, as I was about to tell you.
Go on telling them.
But then there was a terrible storm. The stone giants were out hurling rocks, and at the head of the pass, we took refuge in a cave, the hobbit and I, and several of our companions.
Do you call two several?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, there were more than two.
Well, where are they? Killed? Eaten? Gone home?
Well, no. They don't seem all to have come when I whistled. Shy, I expect.
Go on, whistle again. I'm in for a party, it seems, and one or two more won't make any difference. They came pretty quick. Where were you hiding? Come on, my jack-in-the-boxes.
Nori at your service.
Oriat.
Thank you. When I want your help, I'll ask for it. Sit down, and let's get on with this tale, or it'll be supper time before it's ended.
Oh, well, as soon as we were asleep, a crack at the back of the cave opened. Goblins came out and grabbed the hobbit and the dwarves and our troop of ponies.
Troop of ponies? What were you, a circus? Or were you carrying lots of goods? Or do you always call six a troop?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, there were more than six ponies, for there were more than six of us, and well, here are two more.
Troop was right. A fine comic one. Come in, my merry men. And what are your names? I don't want your service just now. Only your names.
Balin?
Dwalin.
Now, go on with your story, wizard.
Where was I? Yes, I was not grabbed. I killed a goblin or two with a flash.
Good. It's some good being a wizard, then.
And slipped inside the crack before it closed. I followed down the main hall, which was crowded with goblins. The great goblin was there with 30 or 40 armed guards. I thought to myself, What can a dozen do against so many?
A dozen? That's the first time I've heard eight called a dozen. Or have you still got some more jacks that haven't yet come out of their boxes?
Well, yes, there seem to be a couple more here now. Ophelia and Keely, I believe.
That's enough bowing and smiling. Sit down and be quiet. Now, go on, Gandalf.
Well, I performed a bit of wizardry and caused the fire to fly up to the ceiling and then fall upon the goblins, allowing us to escape. After a lot of running, we counted ourselves and found that there was no hobbit. There were only 14 of us left.
14? That's the first time I've heard 1 from 10 leave 14.
Oh.
You mean 9, or else you haven't told me at all the names of your party.
Well, of course, you haven't seen Owen and Glowin yet. And bless me, here they are. I hope you'll forgive them for bothering you.
Oh, let them come. Let them all come. Hurry up. Come along, you two, and sit down. But look here, Gandalf. Even now, we've only got yourself and 10 dwarves and the hobbit that was lost. That only makes 11, plus 1 mislaid, and not 14, unless wizards count differently to other people. But please, get on with the tale.
Well, we finally all escaped and made our way to the woods far from the goblins. But then a pack of wargs forced us to climb some trees. I tried to drive them off with some fireworks.
Well, I wish I'd been there. I'd have given them more than fireworks.
Well, I did the best I could. There we were, with the wolves going mad underneath us and the forest beginning to blaze in places, when goblins came down from the hills and discovered us. They yelled with delight and made fun of us. 15 birds in 5 fir trees, they shouted.
Good heavens!
Yes.
Don't pretend that goblins can't count. They can.
What?
12 isn't 15, and they know it.
And so do I. There were Biffa and Bofur as well. I haven't ventured to introduce them before, but here they are now. Oh, and here's Bomba, too.
Well, now there are 15 of you.
Yes.
And since goblins can count, I suppose that's all there were up in the trees. Now, perhaps we can finish this story without any more interruptions.
Bilbo saw how clever Gandalf had been. The interruptions had really made Bjorn more interested in the story, and the story had kept him from sending the dwarves off at once like suspicious beggars. Bjorn never invited people to his house, but now he'd got 15 strangers sitting on his porch. When Gandalf finished his tale, Bjorn was pleased and invited them all to supper. After a splendid meal, they all went to bed on mattresses of straw laid at the side of Bjorn's great hall. Once in the night, when Bilbo awoke, he heard a growling sound outside, a noise as of some great animal scuffling at the door. The next morning, both Bjorn and Gandalf were gone. The wizard came back late that night, but still they saw nothing of their host. But the following morning they were awakened by Bjorn himself.
So here you are still, not eaten up by wargs or goblins or wicked bears yet, Mr. Baggins. Little Bunny is getting nice and fat again on bread and honey, eh? Well, come and have some more. You probably wonder where I've been. I've been over the river and right back up into the mountains. It was a good story you told, Gandalf, but I like it still better now I'm sure it's true. I'll give you ponies to take you to the edge of Mirkwood. They're already packed with food to last for several weeks. Nuts, flour, sealed jars of dried fruits, and red earthenware pots of honey. And there are skins for water.
Water?
The way through Mirkwood is dark, dangerous, and difficult. Water's not easy to find there. There's one stream there, I know, black and strong, which crosses the path. That you should neither drink of nor bathe in, for it carries enchantment of great drowsiness and forgetfulness.
Is there any other advice you can give us?
Yes. Whatever you do, Do not stray from the path. Now, I wish you all speed, and my house is open to you if ever you come back this way again.
After their final meal with Bjorn, the little group set out again, following the directions given them by their host. For 4 days they traveled through pleasant fields and woods until they came to the borders of a great forest. There were no animals to be seen. Birds began to sing less. Ahead were gigantic trees, their trunks huge and gnarled, their branches twisted, their leaves dark and long. Ivy grew on them and trailed along the ground.
Well, here is Mirkwood, the greatest of the forests of the northern world. I hope you like the look of it. Now you must send back those excellent ponies you've borrowed.
Oh, why must we send them back just when we need them most? Oh.
Bjorn is not as far off as you seem to think. And you'd better keep your promises, for he's a bad enemy. Let Mr. Baggins tell you what he saw last night.
I thought it was the shadowy form of a great bear prowling along in the same direction as we are going.
Mr. Baggins' eyes are sharper than yours. Bjorn has been with us to guide you and guard you and to keep an eye on his ponies, too. You don't guess what kindness he has shown you in letting dwarves ride them so far and so fast, nor what would happen to you if you tried to take them into the forest.
What about the horse he's loaned to you?
What?
You don't mention sending him back.
I don't, because I'm not sending him.
What about your promise, then?
I'm not sending the horse back. I'm riding it. Oh. No, I've told you before. I have pressing business, and I'm already late through bothering with you people. Now we may meet again before all is over, and then again, of course, we may not. No, I'm sending Mr. Baggins with you. I've told you before that he has more about him than you guess, and you'll find that out before long, so cheer up. Now, goodbye, Thorin. And goodbye to you all. Straight through the forest is your way now. Don't stray off the track. If you do, it's 1,000 to 1 you'll never find it again and never get out of Mirkwood.
Do we really have to go through?
Yes, you do, if you want to get to the other side. You must either go through or give up your quest. Oh. And I'm not going to allow you to back out now, Mr. Baggins. I'm ashamed of you for thinking of it. You've got to look after all these dwarfs for me.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant, is there no way round?
Oh, there is, if you care to go 200 miles or so out of your way north and twice that south. Before you could get round Mirkwood in the north, you would be right among the slopes of the Grey Mountains, and they're simply stiff with goblins, hobgoblins, and orcs of the worst description.
Orcs, you wouldn't say.
Yes. Now, before you could get round it in the south, you'd get into the land of the necromancer. Yes, and even you, Bilbo, won't need me to tell you tales of that black sorcerer. I don't advise you to go anywhere near the places overlooked by his dark tower. Stick to the forest track. Keep your spirits up. Hope for the best. And with a tremendous slice of luck, you may come out one day and see the long marshes lying before you. And beyond them, high in the east, the lonely mountain where dear old Smaug lives. Though I hope he isn't expecting you.
Very comforting you are, to be sure.
Yes.
Goodbye. If you won't come with us, you'd better get off without any more talk.
Well, goodbye then. Goodbye. Bye. Take care of yourself. And don't leave the path.
Oh, you're always telling us how to die.
Goodbye and go away.
Soon the wizard was out of sight. Now began the most dangerous part of all the journey. They each shouldered the heavy pack and water skin which was their share, and turned from the light that lay on the lands outside and plunged into the forest of Mirkwood.
You've been listening to The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, adapted for radio by Bob Lewis, and featuring Ray Reinhardt as Bilbo, Gale Chugg as Gollum and the narrator, Tom Luce as Thorin, and Bernard Mays as Gandalf. Also heard in the cast were Carl Haig, Bob Lewis, and Joe Hughes.